As you may remember, if you were here or if you were watching on Facebook Live, last Sunday we explored the topic of financial stewardship. We were challenged to consider our motivation for our giving and for our reasons for not giving. We discovered that our giving should be closely linked to Jesus' commandment to love our neighbors, not guilt, not selfishness, not pride. Many of the same things can be said about the stewardship of our time and our talents, which is what we're going to explore today. Three boys in the schoolyard were bragging about who had the highest paid father. The first boy said, "My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, he calls it a poem, and they give him $100. The second boy said, "Ah, that's nothing. My dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, he calls it a song, and they give him $1,000. The third boy said, "My dad is even better than that. He scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, calls it a sermon, and it takes 6 or 8 men to just collect all the money." At the heart of this silly little story is not the issue, really, of money, but who or what gifts or talents are more highly valued than others. The first part of this morning's scripture reading from 1 Corinthians 12 speaks to this very issue. The simple lesson that we learn from this reading is that no one, no person or talent is more highly valued than another by God. Thinking about this in the context of the church and the ministries the church provides, no person is more important than another, and no gift or talent is more valuable than another. Everyone and every talent is called out by God and needed to fulfill God's mission for the church. I think about my Amish relatives who come to the rescue when somebody's barn burns down or something is wrong with the barn. Everybody, friends, family, and neighbors come and they help to build that barn up. And everybody's got a job. You know, the men are the ones who are usually always working on the barn. There's some at the ground level carrying wood around. There's some that climb up to the heights of the structure and pounding nails into wood over there. And then you got the women are always in the kitchen, either doing dishes or making snacks or making dinner to feed everybody. And we're not talking about just a couple people here. We're talking about a lot of people. So there's a lot of work going on in the kitchen. Your older children are taking care of the little children so that they aren't in the way of everything. Everybody's got a job. Everybody is called upon to do that job. Everyone and every talent is called out by God here in the church to fulfill God's mission for the church. But there are, however, those attitudes and those motivations that sometimes get in the way of making these lessons a reality. And unfortunately, congregations who fail to embrace the lessons in this text are challenged to thrive and fulfill the mission of helping to build God's kingdom. I believe this is an exciting time for us. Even though we are still dealing with COVID-19, will it ever end? And the restrictions that are put on us and the ramifications that threaten our ministries. We've been forced to find ways to be church to each other and to be the light of Christ in our community. Some of what we have creatively come up with and implemented may be only temporary, but other things like Facebook Live may be ongoing ministries that we offer, and indeed it will. But now is the time. Now is the time to look ahead. The question needs to be asked as it was asked last Sunday, but this time related to our time and talents, how will Hagerstown Church of the Brethren love our neighbors? And how will you participate? Will we be good stewards of God's gifts that we have? What can we do to make sure we are good stewards of God-given talents? Well, one thing we can do is encourage each other to value individual talents. I think it goes without saying that we are not all the same, nor do we all have the same capabilities. God didn't create us to be exactly the same. It would be a really boring world if we were all exactly the same. Yet there are people who continuously compare themselves to others. Did you hear me say that? Are you listening to that? There are people who continually compare themselves to other people, telling themselves that their talents are nothing compared to someone else's talents. They lack confidence in themselves and their own abilities. Maybe they were told repeatedly by someone that they would never amount to much of anything, and now they believe it. They believe they have nothing to offer of any value, and if they did, they definitely would botch it anyhow, and certainly not do it as well as someone else could do it. Do you believe in yourself and your capabilities? Listen to these words from John 14, 12 through 14. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." These are all inspiring words from Jesus. Did you catch who Jesus said will do greater things? Did you catch that, or did you just kind of hear it read? Who will be doing greater things? Jesus said, believers. Believers will actually be able to participate in his work and do even greater things. Jesus didn't give qualifications. He still doesn't give qualifications for doing his work, like whether you are a man or a woman or even a pastor. Please don't think the pastor is going to do everything. I'm not. It's always been my opinion, and I was taught this by Jimmy Ross, my mentor, that the pastor doesn't do everything. He used to say to me, "I don't need to know where the furnace is or how to fix the furnace, especially. I don't need to know how. Well, I got people that can do that." Right, Larry? Don't expect the pastor to do everything. And with ministries, too, you know, if there are ministries that people want to see happen, guess who's going to make them happen? You are. Not me. I'll be involved. I'll be on top. I'll be at, you know, helping you, supporting you, encouraging you, shepherding you. But if people don't come forward to do a ministry, it isn't going to happen. Because then I don't feel like it's a passion for the congregation. Together, we do this, and we all have the qualifications to help with something. No one is excluded. Tara Beth Leach, in her book, Emboldened, A Vision for Empowering Women for Ministry, wrote the following thought-provoking reflections on this text, and it's not just for women, it is for men. Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." We then, as sons and daughters of the King, will participate in the mission of God in this world through miracles, teaching, preaching, prophesying, evangelism, caring for the sick, radical acts of love, and laying down our lives for others. By believing in Jesus, by being so united with Him through the Spirit, we will bear witness to the world about Jesus. The world will see Jesus in us through our work. This is all awesome and astonishing on so many levels. She says, but here's what I want you to get. Just as we believe in Jesus, so Jesus believes in us. Yes, Jesus believes in you. Maybe it's time to pause for a moment, take a deep breath, and allow those words to soak into your heart. Jesus believes in you. Jesus believes in you, Jesus is with you, and Jesus will equip you. If you don't yet, you need to begin to believe that He believes in you. And you need to believe in yourself. If God has given you the talent, He believes you can do it. On your own, no matter where you are, and together with your church family through the ministries of the church. HCOB needs you. Jesus needs you to believe in yourself and step up to help with God's work. Some of us need some help from brothers and sisters in Christ. Help to believe in ourselves. Help to recognize our giftedness. Help to find that confidence in ourselves. Help to take a risk. We as the church can and should do that for each other. It's love. It's loving our neighbors when we do that. I was very much one of those people who lacked confidence in my abilities. It's funny. Even as a young child, I always knew I was being called to do some kind of ministry, but I just didn't value who I was. I didn't value my talents. I lacked the confidence to even try. I was the congregant. I was the person who attended Sunday school that sat in the back of the class and didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. Do you believe that? It's true. It's very true. Even though I had thoughts and opinions, I didn't share. I didn't get involved in much of anything at church, except attending Sunday school and worship. That began to change because of something Pastor Ralph Moyer did. I think some of you know him. Wasn't he here at one point for a little while? Pastor Ralph did something to encourage me. It began at a weekend retreat, a marriage enrichment that Don and I attended. Ralph and his wife, Annette, were leading that retreat. For the closing Sunday worship, Ralph wanted us all to share something of our own choosing with the group. I decided I was going to sing a song by White Cross called I'm Yours or something like that. And I never sang in front of anybody before, but this was a smaller group, you know. I was going to try and handle it. Sometime later, I joined the choir. We were rehearsing one evening, and the choir director was looking for someone to sing a solo for one song that we were practicing. I wasn't about to volunteer, not at all. For the song that we were doing, I wasn't about to volunteer, but good old Ralph, apparently remembering that I sang at our marriage enrichment worship, announced to the choir director that he thought I should do the solo. I honestly don't know why I consented to do it, but I did. When the Sunday came for me to sing the solo, I was shaking life like a leaf, and I did terrible. And I'm not just saying that. I messed it up. But it broke the ice for me. I was more willing to try new things and express my thoughts and ideas. I got more involved in helping with the ministries of the church. All it took was one person in that church family believing in me to help me to believe in myself. The Bible tells us to build up one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up." Hebrews 10:24 through 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And here in the scripture that was read to us this morning, it essentially tells us the same thing. Did you hear it in verses 20 and 21? Listen again. "As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need for you.' Nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Everyone is needed, and we should be encouraging and helping one another to believe in themselves, believe that they have God-given talents, believe that they have something valuable to contribute. The church's ability to dream and to put into motion God's plan can be and will be stifled by attitudes and conducts within the body motivated by pride, selfish motivation, selfish ambition and possessiveness, or by unjustly stereotyping and judging someone to be different, whatever that means, as being incapable of doing something, let alone lead something, to do a certain task. No one person, not even the pastor, no one group, no one family runs the church. Not even technology, which wants to rule me right now. Deciding what the church will do and telling the church what, telling who can help. No one, no one person, group, or family can do that. There are churches where this is, my friends, a huge problem. And guess what? They are dying. They are dying. It's so very, very sad. So HCOB, how will you, how will we share our love? Of course, it all begins with loving God and being in tune with His will and having a passion for others to know that they are loved by God. My hope, prayers and visions for showing our love to each other, to our community, and even to our world, begins with listening to God's voice, capturing dreams and visions of ministries that share our love. Believing in ourselves and building one another up. And everyone working together. On this second Stewardship Sunday, your leadership team wants to encourage you to consider how you might help HCOB share God's love through our work together. The Spiritual Nurture Team put together these helpful, it's in your bulletin, these helpful surveys, gifts for the body of Christ. And they've been doing this for years, and sadly, most times they get just a handful back. And some of them that come back don't have names on them, so we don't know who to call to ask for help. Or some just simply check off the things that they're already doing. That's not what we want you to do. We want you to take this out. Take it out now. Take it out now. Look at it for a few moments. I would like you to take a few moments right now to fill it out. Whoa. Take some time now while Greg plays a hymn for us. Fill it out. And as you leave, put it in the offering plate. We're not asking for information about what you already do. We're not even asking to be perfect at anything in particular. But something you're interested in, something you feel called to do. And if for some reason you can't fill it out now, please take time to fill it out and get it back to the church by next Sunday. I'm going to ask Greg to play a hymn right now, and if you can do that for us now, please fill it out.